comes from four different places, and they all relate to the message of the morning, and so they may seem a little disjointed, a selection there, but I hope you'll see as we go through why I've chosen them. So the first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 12 through 20, and you can find that on page 959 of the Blue Pew Bibles. We'll be speaking this morning about supporting the church and what's involved in that, and what it means to be part of the church and to work as part of the church. And so I want to begin here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And in verse 12, beginning, we read, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hear? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." And then moving over to 2 Corinthians, a few pages over, chapter 8. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 15 of this chapter. Once again, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And he writes these words, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that, as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Then turning over to Matthew, back a few pages here. That's on page 831 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 25. reading some pretty familiar words, I think. Beginning with verse 31 and reading through verse 40. And Jesus speaking here, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And then turning back to Malachi, chapter 3, and you can find that on page 802 of the Pew Bible. Malachi chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 12 here. And the prophet speaking to Israel about their failure to follow the commands of the Lord. And we read here the prophet writing these words from the Lord, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you say, "How shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me." But you say, "How have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." And may God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. When you hear someone say he or she is going to church, what thoughts come to mind? Is the church a building? Is this facility here the church? If someone asked you what you would be doing this morning, did you say, "I'll be going to church"? Meaning that you would be going to a building where you would sit with others to hear a sermon. Or did you say, which is probably a little too wordy for what we would say, "I'll be going to worship the Lord with the church at the Rochester Reformed Presbyterian Church building"? Now, I confess, I usually say I'll be going to church, but what I mean is what's in that last sentence. Today we'll see the church is not a building, but rather is God's people, united in Christ, worshiping and serving together, and supporting and ministering to one another, and spreading the gospel as we minister to the world around us. And so first, we recognize that supporting the church involves caring for one another. And as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ set apart from the unbelieving world by God's grace. And the church is the body of Christ called to proclaim God's sovereign control over his creation, that he is the creator and the ruler. And then also to spread the good news that through Jesus Christ, we can be made right with God, for we've sinned and fallen short of his glory and unworthy, therefore, to come into his presence. As those united to Christ as his body, the church is called to care for each part of the body. And we find throughout Scripture there's lots of places that discuss this and make it clear what we're to do. And if you look back in the Old Testament, we see that giving to help the poor is commanded by God. If you go back into Exodus and Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 to 11, we read there, "If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, 'The seventh year, the year of release, is near,' and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cried to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land." And so one of the ways that we support the church, keeping in mind the church is you and me, not the building, one of the ways we support is by caring for those who have needs at various times. And at times we have much, at times we may have little. I've been in both places, and I've been blessed by the care that the church has granted to me. We see the deacons in Acts 6 ordained to care for the poor widows in the church, and that was their original call. The widows needed to be fed, and they weren't being fed, and the Lord called upon the church to ordain deacons to oversee that ministry. And that's the primary duty of our deacons. And we've been blessed with deacons who truly desire to do that and are faithful in carrying out that ministry. And of course, it goes beyond widows. It goes to others as well who have need. In James 2, we see if a brother or sister in need is in need and we have the means to meet that need, we're called upon to give freely to help them meet that need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have an example of the care we should be willing to provide to other parts of the body, even that aren't in our immediate area. And so we read that passage, and they were the church in Jerusalem. If you think of the history back then, the church was being persecuted, the people were suffering, and the churches that were out away from Jerusalem were collecting to help them out. And that's what we were reading about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and that encouragement that they were. And they gave generously to help others. We support the church in other than financial ways, too. We support the church as we fellowship and encourage each other. And one of the things that we need to strive to do is work in this area, the area of fellowship, of being involved in one another's lives so that we know each other, we know what's going on in one another's lives, And we're able to pray for one another. We're able to encourage one another. We're able to build one another up, to support one another. If we don't know each other, it's very hard to do that. We can do it on a superficial level, but we can't really do it to any great depth. And so the call, I think, upon us is to be more involved in fellowship with one another. The church supports one another as we pray for one another. And so each week we have some prayer items in our bulletin. And one of the blessings that we have as a body is that we have the opportunity and the privilege of praying for one another, of lifting one another up as we go through various trials and difficulties and various joys in our lives. Of course, if we don't know what's going on in someone's life, it's pretty hard to pray for them to any great depth. And so I encourage you to share. There are things going on that you'd like us to be praying about. We'll have an opportunity to do that tonight as we gather at the Mobergs' home at 6. And we support the church as we disciple those new in the faith. And that may be our young children, as we teach them and raise them to know the Lord, to understand his word. It may be as people come into the church. And we all started out not knowing very much. Even those of us that grew up in the church, we started off as little babies. We couldn't really say who the Trinity is or anything like that when we're a few weeks old. Most of us couldn't. I think that's a fair statement. But our parents taught us. And for those coming into the church from outside the world, and we pray that that will happen more and more, then those who have been here for a while and have studied have an opportunity to help and encourage one another. And so we support the church, which is you and me, not the building, in a variety of ways. And we're called to be that one body, to recognize that each part of the body is important, no matter what point you are in your Christian life, no matter where you are important in this body. And we need to remember that. Well, supporting the church also obviously involves providing resources to carry out the ministry. And as we look towards how we should do that or why we should do that, first of all, we need to recognize always that the universe and everything in it belongs to God. Nothing except God himself existed before God created the heavens and the earth. Not a thing. It was God, and God created. And because he created the universe, it's his universe. And he is the sovereign Lord over it, and everything that's in it, it's his. And he has the right to govern how his creation operates. And so, when we look at it from that perspective, we recognize that everything we have in our possession has been given to us by God. What we now have is not ours, really, ultimately. It's God's. And he's put it in our possession so that we may use it to glorify him, to build up his kingdom, to encourage one another, to spread the gospel, ultimately, control of everything rests, therefore, with God and not with us. And he can remove it from us, or he can add to what we have, that we may faithfully use it in his service. God graciously gives us what we truly need to serve him. He provides the things that we need. And even when we're struggling, He provides the things that we need. And we can all probably relate to times when we may have struggled. I can certainly look back to the time when I was in the Air Force and had $10 a month for food, and that was it. And that TV dinner every other day tasted good, but that was what I had. And my peanut butter and jelly sandwich every night. But God kept me alive. He did. I didn't have much. I had almost nothing. Maybe you can relate to that too. Maybe you've been in situations like that. Jesus Christ is King. And as we look at what we have in our possession, we recognize that Jesus Christ is King. He's accomplished his work, and he sits now at the right hand of his Father on the throne in heaven, and he is King over absolutely everything, whether people recognize it or accept it or not. He is King, and we're called to serve him. And so we recognize his authority. We remember what he has done to deliver us from the penalty of sin, and we'll speak more about that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few moments. Our desire should be to commit our lives to him, that we may glorify and honor him. We're called then, among other things, to present our tithes and offerings to the Lord in grateful recognition of who he is and what he has done. And one question that comes to mind, at least came to my mind when I was a child, is they kept saying, we're going to give our tithes and offerings. We're presenting our tithes and offerings. What's a tithe? And if you haven't been involved in the church, maybe that's a new word to you as well. A tithe is 1/10 of what we receive. And we've talked a little bit about that in the sermon series in Hebrews, as our pastor pointed out. The first incident that we see recorded in Scripture is back in Genesis 14, where the tithe is presented by Abram to Melchizedek. And they had had a battle, and there were spoils of war, and Abram gives 10% of what they had gathered to Melchizedek. And he shows up, he receives the tithe, and he leaves. And that's all we know about him, pretty much. But he had that special priesthood, and Abram knew it. And he gave 10%. And they probably had a lot after those battles. And so that was a big thing that he gave. The principle of setting aside 10% of everything was part of Old Testament law. The tithe provided for the priests. And so if you read the history of Israel, the tribe of Levi, where the priests came from, did not receive land as an inheritance. So they did not have land to grow their crops on, and therefore they would not have food were it not for the tithe. And the tithe was presented, and the priests used that, and they gave a tithe of the tithe as well. God graciously, of course, allows everyone to keep 90% of what they receive to provide for themselves. And it's good to look at it from that perspective. It's not that, wow, I got so much I should give. And the offerings are above the tithe. And so if you give 10% and then there's more available and you see a need, then an offering is a real blessing, an opportunity for you to be a blessing and for others to be blessed as you are blessed. In Malachi, we read about a common problem in Israel, where they attempted to limit what the people gave as their tithe. And so they would try to figure out all kinds of loopholes around giving as much as they should have given. And of course, it's that was a requirement. That was a legal requirement to them. Things are modified a little in the New Testament, but the tithe is still the principle that we follow. The scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day abused the tithe the other direction by tithing, even like if they got a packet of 10 seeds, they would take a seed out and put it in the offering, you know, one little seed and everything they had. And they did it very publicly so the world would see that they were doing it. And that's not the way we're called to give. Well, how should we respond as we think about these things? First of all, it's important to always respond starting with the fact that God is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King, that all of creation belongs to God, and whatever he's blessed you with is his, and he's given it to you to use for his glory and honor. As we recognize that, we also recognize that God has placed us in a body, the body of Christ, and we are here part of that body, the church, not the building. And so we're not to be a stranger. We're to develop relationships within the church. We're to support one another as we pray for one another, as we minister one another to one another, as we see needs that we all have. And we all have needs at various times. And we help. Even if we don't have a lot of money, there are many ways we can help one another as there's need. And we encourage and support one another. It's part of being the church. And then we give generously as God blesses us with financial resources. The tithe is a good standard, but it's not a maximum limit. When I first served as a pastor in the church, they used to publish every year the minimum salary that they thought pastors should receive. And for many congregations, they changed the word minimum to maximum. And that's not the way that the Lord wants us to think about our giving. Don't be like the Pharisees and scribes, who were very careful to tithe everything they received and made sure it was done in a very public way, but they neglected to exercise justice, to be faithful, to be generous, to care for one another. They looked at themselves. And we need to be ready. Be ready to help. Be aware of needs. And be united as a church. And then we work together. And we build the body up. And we reach out to the world to bring others in to know Christ. And may God bless us as we seek to do that. As we seek to do all those things. As we support the church. And may we be blessed as we do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have brought us into the body of Christ, the church, and that you have blessed us to be part of a body, not individuals out trying to fend for ourselves, but you brought us together into a body that all the parts are important in, and you've blessed us. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us and strengthen us in our commitment to that body, to be faithful as we serve together, to be faithful in serving one another, in praying for one another, in encouraging one another. And we give you thanks that through Christ you've enabled us not only to do those things, but to really want to do those things. As we come to Christ, we pray that you would enable that even more and give us zeal to be a true body in all of its aspects and to support one another faithfully. We pray these things, asking that you'd forgive us where we have failed in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn now to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, Selection C.